Good evening, everybody.
Evening.
And hello, church. How y'all doing? All right, so we're going to continue in our study of the parables tonight. I am appreciative to have this opportunity. We'll be in Matthew chapter 13. And you'll want to bookmark or keep a finger somehow in chapter 13 or we'll be referencing scriptures there and in that area. So I'm for one, I'm really thankful for the parables, and I'm sure the disciples were back when Jesus was teaching the principles, spiritual principles. Because man, I've said it up here many a times, I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed, so I really appreciate the parables, because the parables is something that we can easily understand based upon things that we are familiar with. And as we look at the parables tonight of the treasure and the pearl, it's really helpful for me because, man, it's hard to really equate the value of some things. I mean, even in this realm, let alone the spiritual realm. So I really appreciate this particular parable because it's really helped me put the proper value on the treasure that we have, that we've been given. So in Matthew 13, we're going to start in verse 44. So the hidden treasure. In Matthew 13, verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid again. And from joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. And then in 45, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls. And upon finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. So, as in way of introduction, we have, God has given us choice. He's given us free will. So there are many choices in this life. We know that. Every day is filled with choices. The choices that we're going to look at tonight have eternal consequences. And that's kind of the point of this. So we have a choice of either heaven or earth, the church or the world, the kingdom or culture. And it really comes down to that, just that simple premise. What will we choose? And I ask myself this a lot. What am I choosing by the way I'm living my life? It's one or the other. And the scriptures talk about that in many different places. We can't have both. We have to choose one. Scripture talks about I'm just going to say that it's not going to be a word for word quote, but can bad water come out of a good well? No. Can rotten fruit come from a good tree? No. There's good and evil. It's one or the other, brethren. So we do have to make a choice, and the way we live our lives really show us the decisions that we're making. So in way of a couple of introductory remarks, notice that in these parables that the person who found the treasure and the one who found the pearl, both of them sold everything they had. Think about that for a second. Everything they had, they sold it to buy this one treasure. Man, that must mean a lot to someone if they're going to get rid of everything they own and sell it for that one item, for that one treasure. How much is that worth to them? Everything. So the question then, based upon this parable, is what is this treasure worth to us today? What is the church worth to us? Another thing to notice is that in this, Jesus is our example, really. He's always our example. But I like this because it relates to to Him as our leader and as our Savior. He gave up everything for the church. He gave His life. He laid down His life to purchase the church with His own blood. And really, the only thing that could purchase the church was His innocent blood. Pure and undefiled. That's the only thing that could purchase the church. So, as our example, He did give everything for the church. And we follow Him. Okay, so let's break this down. The treasure. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid again, and from joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Let me ask you this. What do you think of when someone talks about a treasure?
Pirates.
Okay. That's not one that came up in my mind. Okay. Anything else? Gold. Okay. Any other ideas? Gold is?
Shiny things.
Shiny.
Like jewels.
Jewels and diamonds. Okay. Come on, people. Think. Let's go. Throw them out. What was it?
High perceived value.
High perceived
value.
Okay. What else?
Something important to you.
Something important to me. Something important to you. Can a treasure be different from one person to the other?
Absolutely.
Always. Typically. I mean, gold is, it's a pretty given one. Yeah, who wants gold? Not me. Yeah. It's what someone deems valuable, isn't it? How about quartz? Ooh. I wrote down just a few. A treasure chest filled with gold coins and precious jewels. Oh, yeah. Okay. Anything else? What's it? Another treasure, something we didn't hit. Mr. Marancic, what's your treasure? You're supposed to say pow pow. Fresh powder.
Oh, yeah.
So for many of us, there are going to be some similarities, but if you really stop and think about it, what would you sell everything you have to get? Scrape together everything that you've accumulated over the years. Everything. Down to the last fingernail clipper. And sell it. That's tough to imagine, isn't it? I think about that occasionally. Katya, we're going to sell everything we have. Including that bottle. And we're going to go out and we're going to buy the Dallas Cowboys. I don't know. We might be able to buy a helmet.
Bad deal.
We're going to get to that too. You're crazy. Oh. If you're young, you'd be willing to wager all of your future earnings on this treasure. Every dime. From here to there. All of it. Because in my mind, it's just somehow I'm holding something back. Well, that doesn't mean this, right? No, everything. All that we have. It's hard to comprehend, isn't it? Here's some examples. How about the great westward expansion of the early 1800s? The 49ers, as it were called. People left everything they had because of gold. There's gold in them there hills. Right? The people risked their lives in search of gold. They risked everything for search of gold. And it was a crazy deal because word got out that people were actually finding gold in this part of California, like a lot of it. There was I think I saw a number when I was researching this, like in those days, back in the 1800s, there were like $2 billion worth was excavated out of that area. That's a lot of gold. Would you risk everything you had? Leave everything you had? Because some of these guys, there were some men that were that just left. Left their family, left their wife, left the kids, left the farm, left everything. Took a horse and whatever provisional items he needed, left. Headed for California. The women had to stay back home, tend to the farm, do all the men's work. Many of them never returned. One on the Oregon Trail, just the one trail, the Oregon Trail was 2,000 miles long from Oregon to California. One in every 10 people died. A grave every 100 meters. Think about that. They risked all they had for gold. Think about those who have fought in a war, fought for their country, right? For freedom. World War II, over 60 million people died. 60 million people. What would you die for? Would you die for your country? Freedom? We're going to get to that. 2.5% of the world's population died in that war. They gave all they had. Again, what would you be willing to give up your life for? Think about it. We'll get back to that. What about college? People bet their future earnings in order to make more money. They accumulate all this debt so they can go to college and continue to pay on that debt while they're living a better life somehow. I don't know. Some people, college is everything. What about career? People sacrifice a lot for their career. Move away from home, move away from the place they love, move away from family and friends, go to a place they've never been. Oftentimes they compromise their very values and their morals for a career. Family. A lot of people will sacrifice almost everything for their family. Sacrifice career, their money, everything. That's a little bit better than a career or college. Or how about a ground floor business opportunity? Ooh, those don't come around very often, right? What would you sacrifice for that? Some of you maybe nothing. Some of you a lot. Freedom. What about freedom? Those guys in the World War II, they fought for freedom, right? Give me liberty or give me death. Would you die for freedom in this realm? It's all about choices, right? How about the kingdom of heaven? What would we sacrifice for the kingdom of heaven? It's easy to say, man, I would sacrifice everything. Think about it, though. If it really came down to it, if it really came down to rubber meeting the road, it's difficult to properly appraise these things, isn't it? It really is. I'm thankful for these parables, and I'm thankful for the teaching that we get from God and from Jesus to help us properly appraise these things. We are spiritual people. We're in a physical realm being spiritual people. We are spirits in a human body, right? So it's difficult to appraise something that you can't really see. That's what parables are for, right? Ken, I think you mentioned it. It's to help us as physical people understand spiritual laws, spiritual teachings of God, right? Let's turn to Matthew 16. And I like this because this really helps me put things into perspective. How about the cost of discipleship? Is it good to weigh the costs? I hope everyone here did, if you're a Christian. In verse 24 of Matthew 16, then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" Think about that. I like to, when I read this in my annual entire full Bible reading, front page to back, when I get to this part, I really like to stop and think about that. What here in this realm is my soul worth losing? What can I get in this lifetime, in this realm, that's worth my spirit, my soul for eternity? Nothing. And if you hesitate answering that, really need to do something about that. This life here is but a vapor, right? Eternity is a lot longer time. And all of us are guaranteed eternity. I have to stop and think about that occasionally. All of us will have eternity. Just a matter of where. Smoking or non-smoking. It's a choice. The thing is, that what determines that is what we do now. That's the tough thing to wrap my head around. That's the difficult thing. The choices that I make today will determine that non-smoking or smoking. Would it be fair to say that it would be a good trade then to give up the whole world to save my soul? I think that's a question that we have to revisit often. I know I do. Can I give up the things of this world for, if I live to be 70 or 80 years old? I don't know. Who knows? Can I give up those things in order to be in the right place for eternity? Yeah, I think so. All right, so let's continue to look at this. The cost of discipleship. Let's go to John chapter 3. Many of us are familiar with this. This is Jesus' teaching about the new birth. In John chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, and he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Unless, and the literal there is, unless one is born from above. You can't see the kingdom. Can you recognize the value of it then? If you're not born from above, if you're not born again, born of God, how can we truly recognize and appraise the value of the kingdom if we're not of the kingdom? Can't. I'm reminded again of the rich young ruler in Mark chapter 10. Let's just go there. I like this too because this guy comes up to Jesus. In verse 17, says, as he, Jesus, was setting out on a journey, a man ran up to him and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Great question, right? Jesus says, Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your mother and father. And he said to him, Teacher, I have kept all these things from my youth up. Looking at him, Jesus felt a love for him and said to him, One thing you lack. Go and sell all you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. But at these words he was saddened, and he went away grieving, for he was one who owned much property. Man, what a great example. This guy, he was a young, successful guy, right? He kept all of the commandments since he was a young man up. He was a godly man, right? Wanted to please God. He even went to Jesus and said, Man, what am I lacking? Help me out. What more do I need to do to ensure eternal life? The one thing he didn't want to give up. Sell everything you have. You know, and it's crazy because most people don't even have the right perspective. They can't. They can't properly appraise it. They're going to think, man, you are flat out crazy, right? Do they know about the treasure? Do they know about the treasure you sold everything for and bought the field to get? They don't know about the treasure. They just know you're crazy. You're crazy. Can you hear this guy's family? You can't afford to buy a field. What are you thinking? What? You sold all everything you had and you're going to go buy a field of rocks? Are you nuts? What are you thinking? There's nothing there. All your stuff's gone? What are you doing? You can't produce anything from it. Besides that, you paid way too much for it. You're flat out nuts. All these objections, right? Because they don't know about the treasure. They don't know what he's doing. They don't know what's so valuable. I got to thinking about And Luke has actually mentioned this before. The movie National Treasure. Who's seen National Treasure, the movie? Okay, pretty good fair amount of you. Think of the obstacles that they have to go through on this treasure hunt in that movie. All of the challenges and struggles that they have to go through. And, well, let's go to Matthew chapter 10. Were we in Matthew 10? No. Matthew chapter 10. Think about all the struggles that this Ben Gates went through in this movie to find the treasure. And the whole way through, like he's having to figure out clues and different things. But if you think about it, in the beginning of the movie, his dad was a treasure hunter too, right? And he's like, I might be getting this a little bit wrong, but his uncle was a treasure hunter even. And it's, the son, was when he was a little shaver, was just in awe of his uncle, you know, out getting treasures, you know, hunting treasures. And his dad was like, I don't want you to have anything to do with my son. Stay away from him, blah, blah, blah. Because he had searched and searched and searched for treasure, his dad, and had never found the treasure. And so he gave up looking. So he's like, I don't want you to talk to my son about treasures. Don't want you to do anything, nothing remotely associated to treasure hunting. Let's look at this in Matthew chapter 10, in verse 34. Matthew 10, verse 34. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I came to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and her daughter and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be the members of his household. It's later in the movie. Oh, this might even have been the sequel. I can't remember. It's all mixed up. But anyway, his dad is like, he's going on this treasure hunt right? And he's going through these crazy things. It was a sequel because he was going to kidnap the president to find this clue or whatever. He's like, "You're doing what? Are you crazy?" And because he knows nothing of the treasury. And he's, not only that, but he's given up on the idea of treasures. And he just does not understand this. We look at this in the Old Testament. The faithful of the Old Testament, didn't they have to endure a lot of grumbling? A lot of unbelief? What are we doing here? We are led out here to die of thirst. When we left, look what we left. We left water and food and slavery. The faithful of the Old Testament had to endure a lot of complaining. How about the New Testament faithful? Is there a lot? Was there any of that going on in the New Testament times? Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. I think there may have been. Are there any workers in the New Testament that loved this present world and deserted the work of the kingdom because they gave up on the treasure? They didn't properly evaluate the treasure? Well, let's look in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. Let's grab verse 9. "Make every effort to come to me soon, for Demas, having loved this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me." Deserted him. He loved the things of this present world. See, they lost or didn't recognize the value of the treasure. Do you think there's anything? You know, the other thing that comes to mind too. Are there people that recognize the treasure but don't want you to have it? I know about the treasure, but I don't want this guy to know about it. Does anything come to mind there for us in seeking our treasure? How about the devil? Does the devil know about the treasure? Oh yeah. Does he want you to have it? You know what the Satan means? Adversary. Think about it. Every turn, he's going to block you. Every effort, he's going to dissuade you. Think about it. Going to assembly. Have you ever had your vehicle not start? Or there's a flat tire? Or something was seemingly preventing you from going to assembly? I'm sick. I've got homework to do. I've been there. Best thing for you, best place for you to be in those times is at assembly. Mm-hmm. Are there things that come up that try to derail us from that? Yeah. Got a new Bible study. Start a new Bible study with the lost, right? When do you want to get together? I don't know. I started this new job and My evenings are pretty full. My schedule's pretty crazy. Well, how about Tuesday night? All right, great. Tuesday night, go and study 1 week. Goes Tuesday, great study. Yeah. How about next week? Oh, I got to work Tuesday. My mom said I need to stay home and clean my room. I don't know. My wife said I need to do the laundry. You think Satan hinders us? Tries to? Oh, yeah. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. We know that he's the adversary. Is it? Is it hard to really comprehend that he's trying to stop us? Think about it, though. I mean, really. He knows that he's done for, but if he can delay us in building the kingdom, he might have a little bit more time, right? 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 18. Paul talking, and he says, "We wanted to come to you, I, Paul, more than once, and yet Satan hindered us." He is the adversary. So if we don't properly appraise that treasure, are we going to do whatever it takes to get to it, even though there's hindrances? We have to properly appraise that treasure. And it can't be something that, I'm going to sell everything, but I'm going to keep this, keep that for myself. Jesus says that isn't going to work. If you want to follow me, pick up your cross, get rid of everything, and come follow me. It's going to take everything. All right, so the one pearl. So, okay, well, both parables. Both parables are pretty similar, right? What's one major difference? Think about the parable of the treasure. Think about this guy. He goes out and buys this whole field, right, to get this one treasure. He buys the entire thing to get the one thing that he wanted. Isn't that true of Jesus? In John 3:16, very familiar scripture, Jesus died for the whole world. Did the whole world come to him? Did he save the whole world? He died for the entire world. What's the scripture tell us? That the gate is narrow and few find it? Jesus gave up all that he had for a few. And that man in the parable didn't complain about the rest of the field, did he? But it was unprotected. He was joyful. He was stoked. He went and sold everything, came back, "Yeah, I'm going to buy this field." Did it matter to him that the field was worthless? No, he got what he wanted. That was what he was after. He got it. It didn't matter. Didn't matter if it was unfertile ground or whatever. So in the parable of the pearls, one pearl of great value. How much is one soul worth? How much is your soul worth? A 100 sheep, one lost, one found. The lady with 10 coins, "I lost a coin. Oh man, what am I going to do?" Found one coin and celebrated. "Come on, come celebrate with me." One. Two brothers. One says, he says, I'm out of here. I don't want this stuff. Give me my inheritance. I'm going to go. I don't want this anymore." The one brother stays back, tends to the family business, The lost one comes home. What? There's a barbecue? What? One was found. One. The brother's like, what's the brother that stayed back was like, what's the deal? I've been here. I've been tending to your business. I didn't go off and spend all your money. He comes back after having spent all of it, and you have a barbecue for him? Find the one. There's people that I've studied with that aren't going to make it. In fact, I have one yet that's going to hold out. The story isn't written yet, but is that going to be my focus? No. Can't be. What's my focus? My focus is on the one pearl, right? How do I use my time? How do I use my money? When I lie awake at night, what am I thinking about? When I go to work, if I had a job, what would I be going for? What's my objective when I do go to work? The one pearl. Sell out on everything, right? Do we make a conscious effort to be involved in activities to meet new people? This is tough for me. I'm just saying, I'll just speak for myself. This is hard. To ask somebody for a Bible study, that's hard for me. I don't know if anyone else has that problem. What's it worth? What's the soul worth? Can I get out of my comfort zone for a little bit to save a soul? To cast the seed? Yeah, I could probably do that. When the saints meet, do you do everything possible to be with them? What's the kingdom worth? There's a guy that Luke likes to tell the story, actually. Guy that he studied with. And he's no longer here, but he had a good question. It was his question. He asked it, and it was a good one. If the church were to go down today, how much would you lose? It's a great question. Because, again, I'll just speak for myself. I lose sight of the value of it sometimes. In the trenches and in the day-to-day. Got a scripture reading. I'm going to pray. Got to do this or that. The goings and comings. What if the church ended today, what would you lose? We need to ask ourselves that on a regular basis. The man in the parable. Why would you buy a field that's worthless? Why would you sell everything you have to buy a field that you can't give you back anything? If we appraise the value of the treasure, right? There's no cost too great, is it? What's your soul worth? What's my soul worth? Do I want to hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant," at the end of this journey? Or do I want to hear, "You know what? I don't know you." I think I'd rather hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Can I forego some of the things of this life that I enjoy because it's not of the kingdom? Yeah, I could probably do that. Can we forfeit a few things in this physical existence?
This perception's everything, you know. It's like the field's worthless if you're not interested in the kingdom, you know, because that's the treasure that's that's shown in the parable. And so it's perception, you know, even prayer, you know. If you don't appraise spiritual things, you're just mumbling to yourself, you know, but it's perception. The you know, spending Wednesday night assembly, or, you know, working a few extra hours, or hitting the bar. I mean, perception, what's your value? And so we just got to, you know, make sure we have our perception correctly, because Satan wants to twist it and get our value, what we value. He wants us to value other things, things of this life, things of the flesh. But if you look at Christ, you know, none of his physical attributes are explained to us. Where he lived before, what job he did before, might have been a carpenter, was son of a carpenter. But I mean, we know very little about it. Why? Because it doesn't matter. Perception.
Yeah. That's a great point. And I was going to mention that earlier, and I forgot.
Just a couple other things that always stand out to me about these two particular parables is that in the hidden treasure, I don't think the guy went out to the field seeking the treasure. He happened upon it. Right. Figured out what it was worth and was like, whoa, I got to buy this. Mm-hmm. And then the other one, it's a merchant seeking fine pearls. He knew what he was looking for, but he had to keep looking until he found what he wanted. Mm-hmm. But in both cases, you notice that either one of them, the guy didn't take the treasure out of the field without paying what was necessary to get it. Mm-hmm. And the same thing with the merchant is he understood what it was worth when he found it and did the right thing and buy it. So in other words, we can't steal our way into the kingdom of heaven. Yeah. It has to be something that is, what's the word I'm looking for? Sincere. And it has to be for the right reasons. Because otherwise, we are just casting our money to the wind.
Yep.
So if you will, in this case, you know, the money, if that's the terminology we want to use. But so.
Yeah, that's a good point. We have to be, first of all, we have to be seeking. Yeah. We can't unless we seek.
With what Jared was saying, you can go all the way back to King David as well. When he was had to make the choice of his famines from his sin, and he went to buy the threshing floor and sacrifice ox on it, and the landowner offered to just give it to him, and he says, no, I'm not going to sacrifice something that costs me nothing. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's a good example in the Old Testament.
Yeah, it is. So, and, you know, of course, any other comments, throw-ins? You know, our perspective, our position gives us perspective. What gives us our position? I think information, ultimately the Word of God gives us our position.
It's just like how you started this out, you know. You could say perhaps that this is even what Jesus was thinking. He gave everything for a treasure, and that treasure's us, the church. Yep. So, you know, that's an awesome parable.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah, thanks, Brad. Any last comments, closing thoughts? Levi.
I like what you said right there. You said, position gives us our perspective. What gives us our position? And he said, God. I think, in which I agree with you, but I would also say that position gives us our perspective and our perspective of our position might give us our position.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it works both ways, doesn't it? Okay, we're just right at time. Any other last comments? So I really enjoy these parables, and for me it's really helpful to be able to go through each of them and break them down.